And let's go straight to Iowa, where the first contest of the presidential campaign gets underway tonight. The Iowa caucuses will set the stage for the rest of the primary season, and the Democrat who wins will get a big boost going into New Hampshire primaries next week. NPR's national political correspondent Don Gagne joins us now from Des Moines. And Don, some candidates have been campaigning in Iowa for more than a year now in anticipation of tonight's caucuses. What does the final push look like?
Well, it's been fascinating to watch when you talk to voters, especially in large part because of how different it feels from caucuses from years past. First, there is such a large field. Some have been here for more than a year. Some have campaigned here for a long time and dropped out already. So the field has shrunk a bit in the past month or two, but it's still big. And there are lots of top tier candidates, you know,
Biden,
Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, Klobuchar. So that makes it different. But also, can I play the voice of one voter for you that I think really does capture this? I mean, there is more of a trying to game out the system and what's going to happen in the states after Iowa. This is from a Buttigieg event in Waterloo over the weekend. They pronounce it Waterloo. Her name is Laura Sniffen. She's retired from John Deere. I just asked her the simple question, who she's caucusing for.
I'm more or less just kind of keeping an open mind. So I've seen Amy and I've seen Pete a couple times, and I have not made it to Biden, but my husband has.
And she says she might not make up her mind until she shows up in the caucus site. And the best thing about that answer to me is how long she pauses as she's answering it. She takes deep breaths. She's really, really still trying to sort it out.
That's so interesting. You know, there's been a lot of polling and reporting we've been seeing on Democratic voters in Iowa who are more focused on beating Trump, even if that means not voting for the candidate they like best on policy issues. Did you hear that in your conversation with caucus goers?
Absolutely. And that's something else that makes this a very different year. A voter after voter will tell you who can win. That's who I want. Who can win? Normally in Iowa, they'll look at the field and they say, oh, I agree with candidate X. So they get on board and they show up to caucus and you see how it all plays out. But this time, over and over and over, people say, we got to beat Trump. We got to beat Trump. We got to deny him a second term. Let's meet two more voters. These guys were both at that same Buttigieg event. The first voice you hear is a college professor and a brand new citizen, Omaru Baldy. He's confident Trump will lose. But the guy right next to him, they were seated side by side, Christopher Mertz, he runs the jazz department at the University of Northern Iowa. He's way less certain. So give a listen to them both. First, Mr. Baldy, the new citizen.
You're optimistic Trump will lose this.
Yes, I am. Positive.
Are you so optimistic?
Not as optimistic. I wish I could say that I was. And I'm going to borrow some of your optimism, if I may, because I need it.
And I might add, I thought they were friends. They had never met before the rally, but they seemed to strike up a nice acquaintance with one another, which happens a lot at these places.
Yeah. I also want to ask you about something else. There was this big news over the weekend that the Des Moines Register said it would not release a poll that comes out every year just before the caucuses because there was concern that Pete Buttigieg's name had been left out in at least one survey. How helpful would that poll have been for, say, a front runner if it had come out?
You know, it probably would have meant more for all of us obsessives who watch this stuff.
Yeah.
It's nice to have one final snapshot of where the voters appear to be. But I don't think it really affects voters themselves much at all. And I don't know that it brings people to the front runner. What would have been really interesting is if it had told us how many people are still undecided, because we feel like that number is really large this year. That would be nice to know going into tonight. But hey, you know, caucus night's here, so let's just count the votes.
Yeah, one last question for you. Who needs to do well in Iowa in order to move on to New Hampshire?
Well, I think everybody in the top tier needs to do, you know, something that they can call a solid performance. And, yep. And maybe a better way to put it is nobody can afford to tank. But especially Amy Klobuchar, coming from Minnesota, right next door to Iowa, playing up her Midwestern roots, she needs to finish really well, because the argument then becomes, well, if she can't win here, where can she win? Mm-hmm. But Buttigieg and Biden both appear ready to move on. Either way, Sanders and Warren are basically going home to New England for the next stop. So they'll be there either way. But there are really a million ways to handicap all this. So we'll be just watching it very closely.
Thanks so much. That's NPR's national political correspondent Don Gagne in Des Moines. Thanks so much.
Thank you.